1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawless. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Those who are born of God will not continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Those who do not do what is right are not God's children, nor are those who do not love their brothers and sisters. So as we take our final look at the letter of 1 John, as I said before the summer break, it's good to remind ourselves of what's already come before this. As we were reminded last week, John is a writer of stark contrasts and blunt language. He doesn't pull any punches, it's just all there. So we've already been challenged again and again as we've worked through the first two chapters on how we should live our lives for God. Right from the start, we've looked at the difference between living in the light and living in darkness. We've looked at how we should love others, but also how we could hate others and what that might mean. We've looked at God's way of being and living and the world's way of being and living. And then last week, we were challenged as to whether we lived our lives for or against Jesus and what this meant. All of these topics covered in the first two chapters of this letter, which leaves us in no doubt, really, as we read the letter, that John is urging us and his readers of the time, who were new Christians, to stick close to him. Not to flirt with darkness, not to enter into the ways of hatred, not to be lured by the things of the world, but instead to live our lives 100% for Jesus Christ. Which in many ways is fairly simple. These are the teachings, the foundations which we are taught to live by. And it can be quite inspiring when it's written down in black and white or preached from the front of a church. But when we attempt to live these things out in everyday life, which, let's face it, is what we're here to do, it becomes altogether more difficult and complex. Darkness can be very tempting. Hatred is always there at times, and there's the lure of the world which draws us in. Because living 100% for Jesus, living a sinless, loving life, can be a bit more difficult than it sounds, although it sounds fairly difficult to me. And maybe that's why, as we begin chapter 3, the next chapter, John seems to take a different tact. Don't get me wrong, he's still very challenging, and the words that he uses and the stark contrast between God and the devil is still there. But at the beginning of chapter 3, he starts off on a different platform, if you like. He takes a step back and he looks at the transformation that has already taken place in the lives of those who follow God, or if you like, in the lives of his readers or the listeners. Because he starts by saying, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." Having focused so far on the stark contrasts that define the followers of God, he now looks at the origins from which every believer has come from. And what he says, when we think about it, is quite amazing. Because what he says is not something that's dependent on what we do. It's not something that urges us to try our best, and if we fail, that's it. Or something that calls us to change our ways, or something that challenges us to pick a side, as in the previous passages. Instead, it's a statement of fact which calls for no action at all. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. No matter how we feel, no matter what we've done, no matter whether we're happy or whether we're struggling, no matter whether others are trying to draw us away from the faith and we feel that they're succeeding or call us to desert the ways of God, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. However we feel, that is what we are. It's an unchangeable way of being. Because at this moment in time, after all the stark contrasts and continual challenges, John wants his readers to know that their lives have been transformed. Not simply because they've changed their ways or they've started doing different things, but they've been transformed at the very foundation of who they are, at the very structure of what their lives have been built on. They've been transformed by God. Do you know, for some reason, the other day, I was reading about caterpillars and butterflies. I think I was actually trying to prepare for today, and, you know, you're on the internet, and, oh, I'll look up caterpillars, because I'm struggling. So I looked up caterpillars, had a bit of a read, and it's amazing. You probably, a lot of you know this, but I didn't know that a caterpillar, first part of its life, basically is to eat and devour as much as possible to have as much bulk and weight and everything inside it. And then when it goes into the chrysalis, a huge structural transformation takes place. It doesn't just evolve or, you know, change a little bit, but inside, huge differences happen. So that, of course, when it emerges, it's no longer this crawly blob, but this beautiful butterfly that can now fly and do amazing things. But it's the inside structures within it that have changed. It seems, and has always seemed to me, that it's a completely different creature when it emerges from its chrysalis to the one that went in. And in a way it is, because there's been an inward transformation in that time that it's been in the chrysalis. It's like it's been born again, if you like. It's something new. And in a way, this is the statement that John is making at the beginning of chapter 3. See what the love of God has done to you, he's saying. It has transformed you into children of God, so that you no longer live as those born in the world who are unable to act any differently from what the world dictates or those around you dictate. Instead, you now live as those born of God. You're able to have the life that God has. You're able to have the life that Jesus had. You're different. And you cannot go back to what you were before, because structurally, you've been transformed. Just like a butterfly can't go back to being a caterpillar, you are now a child of God. An inner transformation has taken place in your life which cannot be reversed. You've been born again, which is where the phrase comes from that was bandied around in the 80s so much that people then started to avoid it. But we've been born again to be children of God. And not only that, says John, but this is just the start. He goes on, now we are children of God, but what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Your foundations have been transformed, says John, but this is not where it ends. Because when Christ appears, we will be transformed again, and we will become like him in all his glory, because we will see what Jesus is really like. We will see him face to face. It reminds me of Transformers, you know, the robots in disguise. Do you know? I hope so. It's a bit embarrassing if not. I'm talking about, you know, the ones they started in the 80s. I think they're now on, there's like two or three generations. But the first ones were in the 80s, which first appeared when I was young. And they were amazing, I thought. about at the time. Because, you know, they start off as a car or a motorbike or something like that, and then by fiddling with them, they transform into a robot. So amazing. But that's not the end, because if you join them together with other Transformers, you can get a mega robot, which could then defeat the world, apparently. That's what happened in the cartoon anyway, but not in my toys. That didn't happen. But that's how it went. The original car was transformed into one robot, but that was just the start, because then you could connect them together to create something even more amazing. And here John is saying, you know, no longer are you impotent Christians who are struggling to live for God in a world that fights to bring you down all the time. Instead, you are children of God. You have been transformed because of what Jesus has done. That is who you are. Not what you struggle to be, not what you're aiming for, not what you should be, but who you are. And what you will be is even greater. And so the resources available to you are the resources that are available to Jesus Christ himself, directly from God. You don't live from the scraps of the world, struggling to get by and battling with your own personal battles and feeling you're always failing. Instead, you live from God. You live from his grace, from his love, from his strength, from his power, from his forgiveness, and from his life. You are children of God. That is who you are, because you've been transformed, not by your own strength, but by the love and the power of God. Of course, the difficulty with transformation, which is also the delight of the Transformers toys, is that at times we forget who we are, or we disbelieve that we, little me, could actually be a child of God, loved and cherished by God, whatever I do. And so we slip back into what we were before. We fall into the patterns we used to live by, which is why John continues and says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. Those who are born of God will not continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God." Or if you like, John says, remember who you are. Keep remembering who you are. When things get difficult, when you feel you cannot change, when life seems to be falling apart, or even when you do something you didn't mean to, or you start to live as you didn't intend, remember that you are not powerless Christians flung about by the ways of the world, slipping back into life and struggling again. Instead, you are born of God. And now that your origins are in him, you cannot go back to what you were. Therefore, you don't need to have to go on sinning. You don't need to have to become trapped into a life of sin or stuck into a life you didn't want to live. We will all sin, and we will all mess up, and we will all continue to mess up. But that's not your life anymore, says John. That's not who you are. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning, because God's seed remains in you, and you have been set free from what you used to be. And whatever we think or feel or do, however life pushes us, this state of being in God, cannot be changed. We are children of God. And what we are going to be is something even better.